Take heed what you hear. And let's start with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for what we just heard from Doug about missions and his hopes to be useful for you and your kingdom, to spread the gospel to people who've never heard it. We pray that you would bless him in that and be with him and Lydia and keep them safe. Help them to learn the language and make the contacts that they need. And Father, we just pray for each person that's here this morning. Open up our hearts and open up our ears that we would hear. Amen. So if you guys want to turn to Mark chapter 4, you can. In Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 1, we find the parable of the sower. And so we reread, "And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. This whole parable is about how people respond differently to what they hear. And then, in verse 21, Jesus changes gears a little bit. He's not changing subjects, but he changes gears a little bit. And in this short parable, keep in mind that the candle is the same as the seed in the first parable. And he said unto them, in verse 21, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. This is in essence a summary of the parable of the sower. All the people who heard the word and didn't bear fruit are likened unto a man who has a candle, but he puts it under a basket, so it's worthless. But the person who bears fruit when he heard the word is likened unto a man who puts a candle on a candlestick, and it can light the whole room. And as I was thinking about this, I was just thinking about kids, and if your room is a mess and people are coming over, you might shut the door of your room and turn the lights out in the hopes that nobody will see it. And if you're really serious about nobody seeing your messy room, you'll unscrew the light bulbs if the light doesn't work. And I'm going to think that in our modern culture and society and electronics, unscrewing the light bulb is going to be pretty similar to putting a bushel over a candle. And now, there are many people who are too grown up to do such a thing in their bedroom, and yet they do the same thing in their hearts. When the light of the glorious gospel of Christ comes to light in their dark heart, they put a basket over it. They turn their ears off and they refuse to hear. And that's the exact subject that Jesus takes up in the next verse, verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Jesus is here talking about your acceptance of truth. When Jesus said, take heed what you hear, he is saying, take heed what you accept as true. And Jesus here promises that if we hear what is presented to us, more will be given. But then Jesus goes on and he says in verse 25, for he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. These words of Jesus are recorded in multiple passages and in different contexts. But in this context, it has very extraneous ramifications. Because here Jesus warns us that if we refuse to hear truth when it's presented to us, then the truth that we already have is likely to be taken from us. And this brief exposition of this passage is my introduction. As I mentioned, I want to focus on the admonition, take heed what you hear. In many ways, I believe this admonition is the sum of this whole passage. Take heed what you hear. In the parable of the sower, we have four kinds of people expressed. And these four groups of people are distinguished by how they responded to the gospel. We have people who are likened to the wayside, stony ground, thorny ground, and good ground. These four types of people are different because of how they heard. And Jesus then says, take heed what you hear. Now our ears are not like our eyes, in that we can't shut our physical ears. We cannot shut our ears and refrain from hearing something that is spoken within our hearing. Jesus is not admonishing us to take heed what frequencies vibrate our eardrums. He is admonishing us to take heed what we accept as true. Jesus is here implying that if you truly hear something, you will do it. Take heed what you hear. And this admonition is both positive and negative. It is an admonition to hear the truth, and it is also an admonition to reject error. When the gospel is presented to you, what do you do with it? When a friend challenges you about something in your life, how do you respond? When your doctrine is challenged by Scripture, do you ignore it? Take heed what you hear. And then on the other side, when the devil comes to you with his bucket of soft soap, do you wash in it? When the world comes with every worldly philosophy Are you swayed by it? And when the devil questions every truth of Christianity, do you listen to him? Take heed what you hear. I want to look at these six things a little more closely. There was a young man, well, just so you know what I'm on. When the gospel is presented to you, what do you do with it? There was a young man I preached the gospel to a number of years ago. I preached the sinfulness of sin, the sinfulness of man, the holiness of God, justification, grace, faith, love, salvation through the work of Christ alone, atonement through the blood of the Lamb. And he said to me, "You have obviously found an answer that works for you, but I'm going to keep looking." And he turned and he walked away. I don't know what happened to that boy, but he didn't take heed what he heard. He didn't hear what he heard. Roy and I once went to Westside Park to preach and pass out tracts, and we ended up spending most of our time talking to an older man, a very distinguished individual. He was a very talented man. He could paint beautifully. He could play multiple musical instruments very well. Played in bands and did this and did that. But he was not a saved man. Roy spent nearly an hour trying to get through to him with the gospel, trying to persuade him. But he rationalized away everything that Roy said. He deceived himself into believing that he was a good person. He persuaded himself that his religion was enough. And Roy and I went away heavy-hearted, that he would be so hard-hearted and blatantly reject the work of Christ. And then 2 weeks later, his name was in the obituaries. He overdrank and died. Take heed what you hear. When a friend challenges you about something in your life, how do you respond? I have friends on whose shoulders I have cried. I have friends who have encouraged me when I've failed. I have friends who have been just about everything to me that you could ever expect a friend to be. And I'm thankful for all of them. But I think the friends that I am most thankful for are not the ones, or I should say, are not so much the ones who have been there when I have failed, as much as the ones who saw me about to fail and took me aside and rebuked me before I failed. I consider someone a friend that allows me to challenge, exhort, rebuke, encourage, and preach to them. But I consider someone a good friend who will challenge, exhort, rebuke, encourage, and preach to me. To someone who is walking in the light, reproof is a treasure. Jesus says in John 3:20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh he to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." King David had a friend who tried correcting him, but he didn't listen. We find this story recorded in 2 Samuel 24, verses 2 through 10. "And the king said to Joab, the captain of his host, which was with him, 'Go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people.' And Joab said unto the king, 'Now the Lord thy God, and unto the people, how many soever they be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing?' Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. And Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel." I'm actually going to skip a few verses. And then in verse 10, And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And this was the occasion for the plague that fell on Israel and consumed 70,000 men. 70,000 lives could have been spared had David listened to a friend of his who was far less spiritual than himself. Take heed what you hear. When your doctrine is challenged by Scripture, do you ignore it? Or do you respond like the church did in Acts 11? We find in Acts 11, and I've got to read a little bit of a lengthy passage here just so you can get the context. Excuse me. Starting in verse 1 of Acts 11, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and did eat bread with them. Verse 4. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in the house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Here's the important verse. And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto the life. And this is how it should be. These people at the beginning of this passage took Peter to task because he had eaten with uncircumcised people. So Peter responds with a simple and biblical argument, and they effectually say, Okay, I guess then you were right. And that's the way we need to be. But so many times we take Scripture and make it fit what we already believe instead of letting a simple biblical argument persuade us to say, as these men said, Okay, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. We read in Titus 3:10, A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Nobody can reject the truth of Christ and have that be his only problem. When your doctrine is challenged, take heed what you hear. As I mentioned, this is not only a positive admonition, it's also a negative admonition. We not only need to accept truth when it is presented to us, but we need to be on our guard against error. And when the devil comes to you with his bucket of soft soap, do you wash in it? For every answer in the Bible, the devil has a false answer. For every biblical cure, the devil has a makeshift cure. For every truth the Bible in the Bible, the devil has a counterfeit. And Christians get deceived by these things because they sometimes can look so good. The devil's answers are often more ornate and delicate and elegant than what the Bible teaches. The devil's cures are much less painful, more tasty. The only problem is they don't work. In Jeremiah's day, false prophets were preaching peace when there was no peace, and that message has been preached in many different forms for thousands of years. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. These preachers were the 3,000-year-old version of the affirmations that are so commonly preached today. The devil comes saying, all will be well, it doesn't matter what you do. All will be well, peace, peace. Take heed what you hear. Then the world comes to you with every worldly philosophy. And we read in Colossians 2:3, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Christian philosophy is pretty much summed up by Solomon when he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Christianity says the whole duty of man is to fear God. Humanism says the chief end of life is the happiness of man. Humanistic philosophy is packaged in many ways, and it's the main driving force of the world around us. When philosophies that exalt man and lower Christ are presented to you, you need to take heed what you hear. When the world around you is preaching philosophies that belittle Christ, the Bible, and the things of eternity, you need to take heed what you hear. And when the devil questions every truth of Christianity, do you listen to him? Hitler is famously quoted as saying, if you tell a lie loud enough and long enough, people will believe it. But the devil knew that long before Hitler ever said it. He knows that if he can get you to give him an ear, he is half won already. Just giving the devil an ear and listening to his lies is very dangerous. Never allow fear to control your thought patterns so much that you spend more time thinking about error than you do meditating on truth. Take heed what you hear. If you dwell on false concepts too long, they will soon start to seem like truth. Take heed what you hear. We've just looked at 6 quick examples of how we need to take heed what we hear. But Jesus goes on, and just after he tells us to take heed what we hear, he says, again, in Mark 4:25, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And this verse takes the sobriety of this admonition to a whole new level. Here we are warned that if we reject truth, we are in danger of losing the truth we have. Being raised in church is a wonderful benefit. But remember, to whom much is given, shall much be required. If you were raised in a Christian family and you've heard the Bible all your life, you have a greater responsibility to keep your ears open. Speaking of the time of the Antichrist, Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Only he who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Here God says that he will send the Antichrist intentionally to deceive the world, because they received not the love of the truth. And he will send them strong delusion because they believed not the truth that they already had. Take heed what you hear, or God might take from you the truth you have and leave you deluded and deceived. Take heed what you hear. If a friend has pointed out something to you that you need to change in your life, you can't afford to put it off another day. If you have recently heard a sermon that pricked your heart, you can't afford to forget about it. If you know the gospel but have not yet made right with God, you can't afford to let the sun go down tonight without first crying out to God for salvation. Take heed what you hear, lest God sends you a strong delusion that you should believe a lie. If you have been listening to lies, lies that make sin less sinful than it is, lies that make the Word of God untrustable, lies that make God unholy, you can't afford to listen to them again, but rather take heed what you hear. If you've been listening to preachers who cry peace when there is no peace, you can't afford but to stop. Take heed what you hear. I can't express how important it is for you to be careful what you hear. If you eat bad food, you might get sick and you might even die. But if you open your ears to lies and close them to the truth, you will land in hell. That is how important it is that you take heed what you hear. Most of you were raised with a knowledge of God, and you aren't going to turn your back on everything all at once. It's going to start with little things. Jesus said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." This should be self-evident, but sometimes with the hardness of our human hearts, we need to be told self-evident things. You need to be open to truth, because the only other option is error. Should be self-evident. You can't afford to put aside even the smallest truth for later, because a little error will lead to a big error. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. We just had Keith Daniel here, and a lot of us went forward. But did you heed what you heard? We hear three sermons every Sunday. Dale gives us an exhortation every Wednesday night, and twice a month we break bread in remembrance of our Lord. But do you heed what you hear? Don't be ears that cannot hear, but he that hath ears, let him hear. Take heed what you hear. You sat here when Keith was preaching, and the vibrations of his voice vibrated the eardrums, and little sensors took signals to your brain, and you heard the words that he spoke. But did you hear him? You sit here week after week hearing the songs that we sing, hearing the sermons that are preached. But do you hear it? And then you go home into a world that's forcing worldly philosophies continually into your ears. And you probably hear those, don't you? Take heed what you hear. When are you going to listen to Jesus and take heed what you hear? I hope for the rest of your life, every time you go to your neighbor's house to visit, every time you pick up a book to read, every time you turn the knob on your radio, every time you get on the computer, every time you go to work, every time you are in company with other people, I hope the words of Jesus echo through your mind. Take heed what you hear. Every time there is a potential for either truth or error to enter your mind, I hope the words of Jesus lead the way. Take heed what you hear. I hope you're haunted by these words. I hope it runs through your mind day and night without end. Take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the words you've given us. We thank you for this book, and we just pray that our ears and our hearts would be open and that we would take heed what we hear. That we would listen to you and that we would refuse to listen to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Be with us now as we dismiss. Help us to honor you and glorify you. And be with us the rest of today. Be with the rest of the meetings that we have. Help us to be encouraged, edified. Help us just to live for you. Amen. And let's dismiss.